Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler, Pete LePage, and Alex Zalbin.
Yeah! Hey. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
Wow, what a great announcer. Great.
Oh, wow, you're working on some character.
No,
are you trying to get a voiceover gig?
I'm just trying to make my voice appreciably different from the announcer because we still don't have an announcer.
I know. Well, I would change the announcer voice and then you could talk normally.
Yeah. No, my announcer voice is an announcer voice. It's talking like this. Yeah. It's very different from my regular voice.
Tim Meadows.
Yep.
That's sort of how you go.
Now, Pete, your shirt looks terrible.
Thanks. Thank you.
Let's do it.
Because it matches my pants.
It looks like
I have a Punisher onesie on.
It looks like you're going to bed soon.
Yeah, for those of you listening at home, just to paint a mental picture, he's wearing gray pants and he's wearing a Punisher shirt that for some reason, having nothing to do with how Punisher looks in the comic books, is half gray. So it looks like he has a shirt all the way up to his navel.
This is like the Punisher if he retired and fished, and like he gained some weight and fished all the time.
I don't know why you had to throw the weight gain in there.
I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying it about the Punisher.
Before you get too angry, I think what he meant was really grossly fat, like just gross.
Yeah, a human monster.
So speaking of you guys being assholes all the time.
I'm listening.
Yeah, the podcast where I was away on vacation finally got around to listening.
That's wonderful. Listened to the podcast.
That was our secret. You weren't supposed to listen to that.
Fuck both of you, all right? Thomas Jane is an amazing actor, and you shouldn't have talked shit about him or his agent. That was fucked up, man.
I just have a question. Yep. Or what?
What?
Or what? Like, we shouldn't have talked shit about him or what?
Do you want to really provoke a 65-year-old fisherman into attacking you?
He might punish our fish.
Yeah. That's right.
Listen, Thomas Jane...
I'm going to punish that buffet at 4:30.
Thomas Jane is doing fine, career-wise.
Yeah, so I don't know why you guys talk shit about him like he was a horrible person. You said some awful things about him.
Name one awful thing that we said about him.
That he has nothing to do with his time. He was awful in the movie. You also said his agent was a piece of shit.
I don't think I use the words piece of shit.
No, that's my saying.
That's your saying. Yeah. That's an old Pete aphorism. Yeah. Piece of shit. Yeah. Listen, all I'm saying is Thomas Jane is a great actor. I think he needs to get back to some of his classically trained roots.
Right.
He can get into some Shakespeare. Maybe he can go back to school.
That would be great. Maybe his agent.
What you're saying is he's not well trained enough to act right now, and he is.
Here's my question, Pete.
Right.
When's the last time Thomas Jane's agent got him a Punisher movie?
Shit, dude.
Dirty Laundry? Is that kind
of... I'm just saying. It's been a while, so obviously his agent's a piece of shit, and you agree.
No. No, I don't agree.
There's a lot of...
All right, so thank you for agreeing, Pete. Another thing that we can all agree on is we're bringing back one of our favorite guests on the show.
Nice.
Very excited to have him here. He has a new book coming out next week called Beef with Tomato. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Haspiel!
Yeah!
Welcome to the show, sir. Please have a seat.
So
grab
great
a microphone.
To have you.
Thanks for bringing me back, guys.
Hey, no problem. Man. What's your opinion on Thomas Jane's agent?
I don't have an opinion about his agent. I have. Are you talking about the short film that he basically created to try and get the role?
Pete's
a big fan of that.
I thought it was okay. I'm not a big fan, but I'm not against it either. I mean, we're talking about the Punisher, man. What I'm trying to figure out is what are the little things hanging off of his fisherman's Punisher shirt?
They're pockets for bullets.
That's where he keeps his heart medication.
Wow. Okay,
and in each pocket corresponds to a different day.
I label them like Monday, Tuesday,
And then there's one pocket that's just full of Viagra. Do not touch those.
That's in the middle
pocket. Pete needs every single one of those.
So you have a new book coming out next week, Beef with Tomato. It's very autobiographical.
Yes, it's obviously completely autobiographical.
Yes.
Well, not just very, it's completely.
Thank you.
It's a hybrid of, mostly comics and some essay prose stories that are all autobiographical. It's about my escape from Manhattan to Brooklyn in the late 90s, basically. But it covers approximately a 13-year period. And it also includes tribalism, exhibitionism and public cunnilingus, which you won't find in your regular Batman and Robin comic book.
You're right. I usually have to draw it into Batman, but you actually have it right in the story.
Now, I got to say, having read through the book, which is awesome, by
thank
the way.
You. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. It was really awesome, man.
Without getting into too many spoilers about your life, you get hit by cars a lot.
Well, I was going to say, bicycling's fucking dangerous in your life. Are you still on a bike?
I ride a bike every day. I rode a bike today.
What are you, crazy?
What?
Yes.
Hasn't New York taught you that it hates you on a bike?
Yes, but I also can't afford public transportation as a cartoonist.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a fair point, but I don't know if you can afford being hit by another car.
I can't. I mean, it only makes me stronger. I am in pain, and you're supposed to suffer a little bit for your art, but I kind of getting to the... I'm 48 now, going on 49.
Wow.
I'm done suffering, I think. but I'm not going to use a segue either.
Yeah.
To interrupt real quick, the show was actually recorded earlier. When he walked outside, Dean was hit and was killed, by
killed by a bike.
Which is really
ironically
sad.
He was killed by a bicycle.
Yeah. We'll now return you to the podcast already.
Yeah, progress. Thank you for making that terrifying public service announcement. Sorry, he threatens all of our guests with murder over the course of the show.
It's my thing. It's kind of
it's a cool, fun thing.
It's a Punisher theme.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, exactly. I could never write autobiographical comics. I think my life is way too boring. It would mostly be like, I sat on a stage.
I agree.
We agree. America agrees.
Sure.
No,
yeah, don't do it.
We've read your diary.
What is it like putting yourself out there autobiographically, not just writing about yourself, but also drawing yourself at the same time?
I think what it is a combination of having enjoyed other people's autobiography. Like, well, first of all, Harvey Pekar's American Splendor, I have the privilege to be able to draw a lot of his stories, including The Quitter, which was his origin.
Oh, man,
I've worked with Jonathan Ames, who we did a graphic novel called The Alcoholic together that was semi-autobiographical. I love a lot of memoir-type stories. Yes, there is a lot of navel-gazing in some of the indie comics that tend to, you know, dabble in memoir. I choose to tell the more exciting stories that have happened to me, and I believe that that's not true about you. You got to have some exciting stories. There's got to be. You know? You don't think so?
No.
Come on. Everybody has some story.
No, to be fair, this show is the climax of it.
It's totally
and
true.
He's not doing anything. He's just
carrying me.
Yeah.
He's a voyeur in his own life.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, okay. But no, I mean, I've had interesting things happen to me. At one point, I thought I was a magnet for death because of the amount of things that happened around me. I actually wrote a screenplay about that called Die, Die Again. And someday I hope to be able to produce that or turn that into a graphic novel. I think it's a case of just showing up to your own party. You just get out there and things will happen. Go outside and you know, observe or be a part of something. And then you will have stories to come home with. So that's all. That's all it takes, really. Especially in New York City. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You just walk out there. I mean, so many of your stories are just normal days where something crazy, you chance upon something crazy, something crazy happens to you.
I mean, a lot of the stories in Beaver Tomato are something that I witnessed.
Yeah.
You know? And then some stories are what happened to me. And yes, I have a proclivity for danger and I can get hit by cars and survive them, but and suffer as well so I can make my art. But yeah, no, I mean, it can happen to anybody. It's just making yourself available for things to happen.
Stop me if you don't mean to spoil this story, but there's this great... You were shooting a film. Helping a friend out playing a villain in a film.
Yes.
And he had just stolen a woman's purse, as his character in the film did, and he gets hit by a car because the dude thought he was stopping this theft as it was happening. You were a victim of a vigilante.
Yes. Basically what happened is a friend cast me to play a thief. And I'm supposed to run down a block. It was a far shot. Run down the block, grab this older lady's purse, and keep running. And then a superhero, actually, of all things, tries to stop me. So as I'm doing this long shot, I grab the woman's purse. I start running down the street. The superhero is usually screaming, "Stop, thief," in the other takes. But in this take, he said, "Stop, car." I didn't hear that. And then I look back toward him as like, what? And suddenly a hatchback came ramming into me and tried to pin me against a wall.
Nearly
broke my arm and my leg. And the guy gets out of the car and he's like, "Oh my God, I thought you were really stealing someone's purse. There was a person stealing people's." It was just happened in Dumbo, Brooklyn. And I guess I acted really well. Let's put it that way.
I mean,
you are a great actor.
That's Oscar award winning.
That's the moral of that story. But I didn't at the time have health insurance. Oh. So I had to load up on mint chocolate chip ice cream. wonton soup, and go to the Russian Turkish bathhouse.
A lot of doctors prescribe that these
days.
No, it's true. As well.
That's another great thing about this book is it. You're the main character in a lot of stories, but you show off New York and Brooklyn specifically so well. If you're like, maybe you're not interested in Dean as a person. Well, that happens to a lot of people.
It's possible.
It's possible. Not likely, but possible. But if you just want to see New York in the last like 15 years, like it's amazing. It's very. It's so evocative.
I like to say that Beef with Tomato, which is a wink toward Charles Bukowski's Ham on Rye.
Right.
Beef with Tomato is like my love letter to New York City.
Yeah.
And there is, New York is a character. And it's also, now that I've had some distance, it's actually an era. You know, we don't have that kind of New York City anymore. You know, now that we have so many CVSs and banks, I don't know why, taking over.
But how, isn't it great to be able to go to a CVS and then go right to a bank?
Yeah.
Or it's so close.
When there's a bank in the CVS?
CVS in the bank.
Yeah.
It's like, vacation.
It's just great.
I went to a CVS. There was actually another CVS inside of there.
Come on.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
always go to the second pharmacist. The tiny pharmacist. Yeah,
it was a Russian nesting pharmacy?
Exactly. You just keep pulling out so many pills.
Yeah. Now, let's get back to the drawing yourself for a second.
Okay.
So, you're frequently shirtless in the book, right?
Yes.
As an artist, when
you're doing... I actually was so hot, I had to let out some steam. I put a hole in the crotch of my pants.
You vented?
Yeah, I'm venting right
now. Yeah, that's great. Are you guys venting?
No.
You're not venting.
You put a hole in your pants?
I had to.
That'll come back and haunt you, my friend. That's going to catch up to you real fast.
And that's how we get stories.
Yeah. That's how you got to do it. Show your dick more.
Okay.
And that's how stories happen.
I'll be right back. do you ever get tempted to like give yourself just like two extra abs just in case?
I would. There was a time when I was less Punisher in a fishing outfit.
Yeah.
There was a time, and that's the time that I'm drawing right now. I'm catching up to my latter years. Like I said, I'm 48, but I think I look okay for a 48-year-old.
Don't you think,
guys?
Great.
I'm doing all right.
Hell yeah.
Right? For a guy who sits all day and draws.
You're like an adult Archie. This is in the book. You're like Archie who moves to the city.
You mean Archie Bunker?
What else are you working on? You're working on a bunch of stuff. The Fox.
Okay,
right?
I wrapped up The Fox Hunt, which was a 5-issue arc for The Fox recently, and I'm waiting to hear if I'm going to do any more. I did pitch another arc, and today, about an hour and a half ago, I just finished another Batman 66 story written by Jeff Parker that features my godmother. Shelley Winters playing Ma Parker.
Nice.
Amazing.
So I'm here because of Shelley, by the way, because she introduced my parents.
Oh, really?
So
really?
I wanted
That's
to
crazy.
Pay homage to her, and I specifically requested if I could draw, you know, her character that she played in Batman 66.
Yeah.
And it also features, we get some cameos from Killer Croc, Solomon Grundy, and Killer Moth.
Ooh, awesome.
Awesome. What is it? Is it any different working on those digital comics for DC versus regular DC comics?
No. I mean, well, that's not true. The first couple I did, they did this thing called enhance panels where it was kind of like a poor man's animation where if you clicked and clicked and clicked, some of the panels could like have the characters blinking or moving or sound effects or color explosions or something like that. For this particular story I just did, they've abandoned that. Mm-hmm. I think what they discovered is that they didn't need to do that, or people didn't really care about that as much. Or maybe, you know, to me, I see it as bells and whistles. It doesn't really add narrative to it, okay?
Totally.
It's just extra perks. So for me, when I do a webcomic, because, well, for a long time, we looked at stuff on our laptops, which is a landscape. But now with this thing, these tablets, they can go portrait like a regular comic book. So I think now you can just return back to comic books and then, you know, close in and get farther away and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's not like when we're reading a regular a paper comic and there's an explosion, we like shake the book.
Right.
You know?
Analog.
Sorry, I let it happen
actually,
in my brain.
I mean, apropos of Dean's point, I usually cut out the eyes so I can make them blink.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
What an expensive...
Oh, you know what? So just to speak to that, this is going to sound... This is to me, it's interesting. You ever see Ben-Hur?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. With, help me out, what's his face?
Charlton
Heston.
Yeah.
So the famous scene with the chariot.
Right. Yeah.
I once saw the special effect of how they made the crowd scene, because the crowd didn't exist. What they did is do a painting, okay, of a crowd, and they popped a lot of holes in the painting, and they put a pinwheel behind it that had different, like, colors on it, and they spun it, so it gave the illusion that the crowd was moving.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane?
Isn't that crazy, much more interesting than the line drawing them on CG?
Yeah.
That's so wild to build a country. It's like Home Alone style where you're building all these people.
But I mean, and speaking to like, that's a practical type of thing versus CGI, right? And I'm really excited like by the fact that Star Wars is going more practical for the next Force Awakens. I'm sure you saw Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of practical. Isn't that better?
Wait, I think it's so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
And also scarier.
I like CGI.
Really?
Yeah, just like totally animated, no people, anything like that.
That's awful.
Digitized voices. Like, I would love to see Siri in an animated movie. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, finally get to know Siri, the most interesting person in my life. Siri.
iPhone the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you just ask questions from a person.
And the entire dialogue is, I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah. What you're saying doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Sorry, no Wi-Fi.
Yeah. This isn't the movie Her.
Beef with Tomato comes out next week. Available.
Beef with Tomato is coming out next week. Also, that's a Hang Dye Editions product, which is my studio imprint. And it's also being published by Alternative Comics. And there are two other Hang Dye Editions books coming out. One is Gregory Benton's Smoke, and also the late Seth Kushner's Schmuck. It's also coming out. So we have three books launching next week.
Oh, cool. Big week.
Yes, big week.
Congratulations.
And we'll also be at SBX and Baltimore Comic Con, New York Comic Con, Locust Moon Festival, and Comics Arts Brooklyn.
Awesome. Very cool.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
And in The Stack, we're going to go to bat for some of the books that came out this week.
Yeah.
Books that we particularly liked. We'll start it off with one of Pete's picks.
That's right.
Here we go. Deadpool versus Thanos, number one for Marvel Comics.
Okay.
That's interesting. Right. For those of you listening at home, literally everybody just stood up and left.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Super weird.
Super quiet.
It was a standing ovation followed by an abrupt departure.
It got super
What'd you like about this book other than Deadpool is in the title?
One of my favorite writers, touchy-feely Tim Seeley's writing this thing.
Nice.
So you know it's going to be funny. The other thing is, I thought this was interesting because these two people have one person in common. They're both in love with death.
Oh, like a sort of a six-degree, like a love triangle.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very interesting...
Oh, so it's like Twilight.
What?
Yeah, it's like Twilight.
Oh, everyone is just mad about that.
What are you talking about?
Wait, is this a crossover with DC? They're in love with death?
Huh? Not that death.
Oh,
the Marvel death, which is... like a robe with a skull for a face.
But of course.
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder about how Thanos kisses death?
They just rub teeth.
I guess.
Just rub their teeth together.
Right,
it's like an Eskimo kiss, but fucked up.
But darker.
But darker, with rictus. Yeah. It's hard because if you go in too fast, you can really screw up your teeth.
Yeah, I just thought that was a kind of like an interesting premise for this comic. And it's very entertaining, very funny, classic Tim Seeley.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
Who wins in the end?
We will find out. First, they're fighting each other, but then by the end of it, guys, they come to an understanding, and they're going to be on the same team.
They're going to fight together?
That's great. Oh, have you ever done anybody in your real life where you just fought and fought and fought, and then you teamed up to fight somebody else?
Yeah. Let me think.
who ever fought? Yeah, wait.
You mean like fight over email? And then you team up to go after someone else over email?
Sure, like that.
Like you're arguing with your intern, and then you and your intern agree like, oh man, the boss is the real fucker.
Hold up one second. You have an intern?
Nah, I don't. I mean, I have a like life intern.
What?
A life intern?
Like smaller cousins, children, I know.
Those aren't interns. Those are
children, you know.
Yeah, children, I know. You ask them to do stuff for you, important tasks.
Do you walk along on the street and see a kid and you're like, hey, kid, make me some copies?
Hey, come here, yeah. Could you find a copy machine?
With a lollipop.
Yeah.
Hey, kid.
I'm not a creep. I'm a businessman.
Yeah, sure. Whatever
hey, kid, you're talking. Could you go to this Kinko's? They won't let me go in there anymore. Make a copy for me, man, please.
You don't have to talk to them like that.
Oh, that's my street voice.
Yeah, street voice.
Pretty good. Cool. Deadpool versus Thanos, number one. Pick that up. All right, let's move on. Talk about We Stand on Guard.
We Stand on Guard. Great book. We'll add applause in post.
Yeah. We'll put that applause in later.
Sounds good.
You guys are missing out on a good book,
by the way. You've been really enjoying this book. Want to talk about it for a minute?
Love this book. And Pete, get ready. This is a great segue to you speaking French.
Yeah.
So in this book, it's Brian K. Vaughan's new book, art by Steve, I think, Scroci. Is that how you say
it? Is it scrochy? I would say scroes, but it could be scrochy.
I say scrochy, but I'm basing it on the musicians.
Well, where's
Croce? Jim Croce?
Croce, right.
Jim Croce.
Do you know where Scroce's from or Scroce's from?
I think he's Canadian.
Anybody here in the audience Canadian?
Scroce or Scroce?
Anybody know?
The name Scroce? Is that traced again?
If your last name is Scroce or Scroce, please write us at comicbookclublive @gmail.com and send us the pronunciation. Yeah. Thanks. Yep.
Ancestry.com. Please check out their site as well. I think they're both Canadian because he talks about that in some of the back matter. But
True.
It's a great book. In this book, America has taken over much of Canada because we don't have
Is fucked up by us.
You're right.
I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that we would do that to Canada.
Well, I mean, we don't have poutine, and we wanted it. It's the ultimate like fast food.
Yeah, but
order.
I mean, you know, we can make our own. We're not the steal of.
Did you read the first issue? The first issue, the President of America and the Prime Minister of Canada, are talking, and then the President of America was like, "That's not fucking bacon."
Yeah,
and then they fight. There. Yeah, and then they fight, but then they'll team up later.
Like always, we invade Canada for their water,
right?
Because we run out of water, and
like we're doing.
This isn't predicting the future per se.
It could be.
It could happen.
I mean, California is pretty dry right now.
Yeah. Real quick, Pete.
It's a great point. Yeah. Would you read a newspaper this week?
Yep.
Really plugged into the news. Anyway, this is 100 years in the future, or maybe even further, and we follow this band of Canadian. Rebels who are fighting against the Americans, and one of them gets captured. It's a very violent, but great
super
storytelling. Brian K. Vaughan is just so good. And this, a lot of people think, it's so funny. Saga's so funny and so smart. And this, just as smart, it's just
dark.
As great storytelling-wise. Yeah. But it's not. There's not a lot of humor in it. It's very much
it's pretty
just
dark.
Also,
my character dies, which I was disappointed in.
Shh.
He did not die, actually.
Really?
No.
Well, we don't know where he is.
No, he comes back in this book.
Yeah,
he's the one
speaking
French.
There's a character named LePage, and of course, Pete's last name is LePage.
So
had a request on Twitter, which I don't know if you fulfilled, Pete.
Someone requested that Pete speak a couple lines in French.
Sure. Yeah.
Since your name is speaking to your heritage.
Yeah.
Is now a good time?
Sure. Let's do this. Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah. So
because you've worked on this.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
What about the accent? Remember, the French has a very particular accent.
Yep. Here we go.
Look up.
All right. Phrase number one. How many phrases are you going to do?
Three.
Three. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So phrase number one.
Parlez-vous français?
Oh, that's good. I like the way your voice takes on this light tone.
It's very romantic.
Apparently. It's like a child.
Second one is baguette.
Oh, that's not a
That's
a word.
Baguette? Question mark?
Yeah, that's like
that's how you ask for something.
No, have you guys ever been in Paris?
Yes, yeah, I have been to Paris. As a matter of fact,
well, that really blew
up my
face.
When would that happen? You'd pick up a piece of bread and be like, baguette?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other guy in English is like, yeah, you fucking idiot.
It's a piece of bread.
That's exactly how it happens.
Pick up a rock.
All right, but that's fine. Well, let's just accept it for the moment. That's the second phrase. Let's hear your third and final French phrase. It's going to be a really good one, you guys.
Le Punisher.
What does that mean? What's the translation of
that? The Punisher.
Come on! Dean, you're the judge.
Yeah, you're a professional French person. Yeah.
I want somebody who can speak French just to say something with the Punisher.
Something lovely.
And a bagel.
Yeah, wait. Is there somebody who speaks French in the audience?
Yes, come here.
Here.
Aren't you taking lessons? Come here.
Here, I can...
Do one.
We'll come
shy.
Over to you. You don't even have to stand up. Just one phrase.
It's
in
a
French.
Comic book club in a bar.
Yeah.
No high stakes. There's no high stakes whatsoever.
Yeah, this is the $1 million question whenever you're ready.
Le Punisher.
That's right. Yeah, nice
already.
That was
Alex
better.
Où est le Punisher?
Je suis le Punisher.
All right.
Everyone, that was Jen Ferguson. Jen Ferguson.
Pete, you're fired.
Comic Book Club's resident French expert.
Yeah.
Always here to translate our work.
Unbelievable.
Great. So your sentences, if we can translate, were, I speak French?
I don't know what that
was. Oh, you don't remember?
Word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it was bread, and then the Punisher.
Right. I did my job.
Yeah. In fact,
buy your plane ticket, man.
Baguette isn't even translated as bread. It's translated as baguette.
Yeah, exactly. That's practically... So, you could go to a pret-a-manger and know what that is.
That's where I learned it.
That was French.
I spent 3 years at one of those.
At a pret-a-manger?
Yeah. No,
at one of those. You don't even want to say the name of a restaurant.
I never knew how to pronounce it until you said it.
Holy shit.
Well, did you live there or did you just visit frequently?
No, they would... When they opened, I would show up and then they would kick me out when they closed.
Oh, so it wasn't like from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basically Frankwater type situation?
I have no idea what you just said.
Even, right. I don't know what you're talking
Some
about.
Of the people in the audience do. Okay, right. We're going to move on.
Anyway, great book, Pete, working on French. But the book, We Stand on Guard, is very good.
Cool. It's Let's talk about enjoyable. Another pick that we have this week. Miracle Man, number one from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Justin, you want to talk about
this
one?
A couple people clapped.
Sure. So this is Miracle Man, number one. This is picking up on the series that Neil Gaiman did many, many years ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, more specifically, it's picking up on the series that Alan Moore did years ago.
Right.
Neil Gaiman did a follow-up. I got to be honest, and I'm sure somebody will correct me, but I believe they released one issue, which is this issue, and then beyond that, the run was never released. It's been passed around on the internet a whole bunch, but we've never seen the end of those issues, and finally, Neil Gaiman is going back, rewriting a bunch of the issues, they're recoloring them, remastering them, and finally releasing his full run.
Yeah, and they just reprinted all of Alan Moore's run on the book Marvel has over the last like year or so.
This is a one-shot?
No, it's continuing.
Yeah. Can I ask? I remember when Miracle Man came out, and I was working as an assistant to Howard Chaykin, and he did some of the covers back then. Back then, it was an amazing feat of comics, of superhero comics, and it was really gritty. And I believe this was done before like a Dark Knight and a Watchmen, and then they came along, and that changed a lot of the way comics are. Is this still relevant today when you read it?
That's a great question. Oh, interesting. Alex is doing his high-pitched canary in the coal mine voice. I think the Alan Moore stuff, I think, is... It's because there's a lot of stuff where we take these old heroes and make them dark. But the way that Alan Moore did it in the first one was more... It was more, like, useful. It was like a... That's the wrong... Like, it meant more. It was, like, the more organic version of it. Like, you could see why
it happened. A precursor to his later works, as it were, would you say?
I think so, yeah.
Kind of like a beta test.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Alan Moore stuff was... Yes, he eventually perfected it with Watchmen and other things and figured out how to do it. But Alan Moore's stuff is all about what if superheroes kind of went bad.
Right.
And then Neil Gaiman's stuff is about what if superheroes created a utopia.
We're gods, yeah.
Yeah, we're gods.
So if
gods.
This picks up with Miracle Man is a god, and it follows four people going to pray, meaning they climb this great... Yeah. There's this great citadel in the center of... Is it maybe New York?
Okay.
And these four characters have to climb the tower, and it's about that great, terrible journey, and then they get there and ask for
like
their
Babel
prayer.
Type thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
and Miracle Man is just a 1930s type, or 50s type hero.
So it has like universal tropes, but in that dark twist... In a beta version of an earlier kind of Neil Gaiman / Alan Moore time period, but it still sustains in 2015.
I liked rereading the Alan Moore stuff because it's not even just the heroes going bad; it's what happens after the like sparkling innocence of when you're a hero. It's like you know, one guy, the villain becomes like, why am I wasting this power on stopping a bank robber and getting hit by a hatchback when I could be, making millions and running the world secretly? Right. And another guy, fails, and then he, finds his way back. Like, so you see, it feels like a more natural progression than just one day a hero being like, I am evil today.
Well, I mean, that's the old classic comics, but then we introduce introspection, is what you're saying. And what would you really do? And then we can relate to that because it makes you think as the reader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and so I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's still really, really good. It's been done a million times since and differently, and there's been so many riffs on it.
And I guess that's why I was asking that question, because since it was like a launching pad for like now other writers to consider that, returning to the older material, I wonder that's what I was kind of...
I think it still holds up.
Still holds up.
I think so.
It's like original text.
Anybody else in the audience reading it?
Okay, we'll get
Do you think it holds up?
I thought this story did, but I also felt like the story wasn't necessarily...
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so from our audience member, it was kind of a really good one-off story.
But unnecessary.
50-50.
Right.
50-50. Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's move on with a new superhero story.
Yeah.
This is actually something coming out tomorrow, so we're going to be pretty much spoiler-free about it. But Batman, number 44 from DC Comics. This book is great. It's really good. So Scott Snyder has been telling the story of what happens after Batman dies again. Mm-hmm. But this time, he's no longer in Gotham. Commissioner Gordon is now Batman in a crazy mecha suit.
Right. Commissioner Bruce Gordon's Wayne. In a robot suit. He has a shaved head and no mustache. He's much more buff than he used to be. Batman had a brain problem, and now he's just a regular Bruce Wayne.
Right, and there's
it's basically Magnum P.I. if he was Batman.
Yes.
It's like if Higgins
without the shorts.
It's like if Higgins wore a Speedo for like one episode.
I don't get that. Yeah. But and there's a new villain called Mr. Bloom that's giving underprivileged people superpowers is essentially the way that it works out.
Yeah.
So here we're getting a flashback issue. It's by Scott Snyder and Brian Azzarello. The art is by Jock, who worked with Scott Snyder on one of his very first Batman runs.
Mm-hmm. I love that story that Jock drew.
Oh, it's so good. It takes place right after Zero Year, which was in this continuity, Batman's first adventure. And this comic is really good. I don't want to spoil anything about it, but it follows a very small, weird crime that happens. Batman follows it down the rabbit hole, and it explores Gotham in a way that I don't think I've seen a lot of comic books do before.
You know, this reminded me a lot of the old Starman series, that James Robinson portrayed Opal City. It's where you get to really see like a series of things happening in the city, and we follow this crime thread throughout and learn something new about a lot of our characters.
I thought this was really confusing. It's hard because Batman has just been jumping around so much in the time period that it's really hard to keep track of which Batman we're talking about, where we are, and then when they switch up artists, it also...
Yeah, you hate that.
Because I can understand it's a flashback, but it's like, it's just so much to keep track of because we have a new Batman, you know.
Wait, Pete, are you trying to say it's a flashback from a future Batman? Is that the flashback? It's a future Commissioner Gordon Magnum P.I. Batman, right? Is that what it is?
No. Well, this is, it's pretty...
Because it is confusing to me as you explain it, and I haven't read the series.
It's pretty simple to explain. It's the new 52 continuity, the current continuity where Batman has died and Commissioner Gordon has taken over, but we're getting a flashback to post Zero Year. I don't understand what you're saying.
So what does that mean, post Zero Year?
It's so straightforward, I'm not going to explain it.
Guys, first off, comics are simple. Batman is a guy named Bruce Wayne who's died several times, and several people have replaced him over the years, including several people that have worn different types of armor. Several of his sidekicks have graduated and portraying the Batman role.
Sure.
And several sidekicks have gone through the different progression.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you explain what a sidekick is?
Oh, no problem. A sidekick is a young boy that you bring into your life to be a hero. One of them continued on and graduated to become Nightwing. Another one died and later came back as the Red Hood and then has gone on to become...
Sorry, could you explain the continuity of the Red Hood?
The Red Hood, no problem. The Red Hood was a villain who eventually was revealed as Joker, but then when we retroactively learned there was a different guy, but Jason Todd later went on to die and then come back as the Red Hood, and me being a hero called the Red Hood at the same time that a villain was being portrayed as the Red Hood.
I think Dan DiDio should blow you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. We've been asking for that for years.
I got weird fast.
Anyway, comics are simple, and this is just another great notch on the bedpost.
This is a really good book. You should definitely pick it up tomorrow, particularly if you're looking for a good one-off Batman adventure. Yeah. It ties into the overall continuity.
It definitely ends in a way that I did not see coming.
Yeah. But the thing that I think is really nice about it, or at least good and interesting about it, is it also deals with a lot of very current issues about race in our country, about privilege. It's a really fascinating, really well-structured comic book. Great. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on to our last pick, another comic that's coming out tomorrow, so no spoilers, but The Walking Dead 146 from Image Comics. So big stuff going on in the world of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Last issue, spoilers. They killed off two major characters in a horrific, horrible, sudden way.
Yeah.
And this issue is all about dealing with that aftermath and what it does to the characters. What'd you guys think about it?
I feel like Robert Kirkman, for as much as people are mad at him a lot, I think now, I feel like he's doing such a great job with this title specifically right now. The way he's crushing it, I think, is pacing. The pacing of his stories are so good, and this issue is great. There's a lot of pensive moments. We get to see the characters really like being themselves, but changing at the same time. Like it's great.
You're talking about consequence. Like he's really considering these characters. I mean, spoiler alert, but he did kill a bunch of characters a few issues ago.
Yeah.
And that was harrowing.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, kind of relieving, because you're like, it's hard to keep track of all these characters anyway.
Definitely.
So let's get rid of half of them, a third of them, right?
Yeah. And especially a black and white comic, you can't even tell what color of hair they are.
I know, right? But you felt that. You know what I'm saying? You felt that loss of these characters. And that's where he and Charlie Adler, the artist and the inker who's been inking for a while now, who's really good, Stefano Gaudiano. I don't know how to say his name. But Charlie Adler.
Scroogey.
These guys are doing... Yeah, Scroogey.
It's pronounced Scroogey.
They're doing a really great job. I've been watching the TV show, and the comic book totally blows the TV show away.
I agree. Yeah. It's so good. What about the new TV show?
I have not seen it. I know you guys are going to talk about that. Was it two episodes have shown up so
We've
far?
Seen
yeah.
Two.
And you have something to say about it already? Okay, let's hear this.
We have something to say about everything all the time.
Yeah.
Because we're idiots.
I would like to say, though, that a lot of people, I think Kirkman just shows what an amazing writer is. He's been doing this for so long and still making choices that blow people away and still do stuff that puts you and makes you feel things and has characters evolve. And I was just completely, the fact of sit-down meetings that they're having during this issue is, you feel them. You feel like you're in the room.
But
like,
what's he going to say? It's crazy that anybody would be interested in seeing people just sit around and talk about
Well, because
stuff.
He's come to earn it. He's come to earn
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Good.
You know? I mean, at first, if he did that in the first 50 issues, you'd be like, come on, cut that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now you've come to love these characters. They can sit down and hash it out and have these dialogues. And I think that is what's beautiful about this comic, because the dirty little secret is it has never been about the zombies. It's always about the people.
But I think that's so funny. If someone were to chronicle the number of meetings they have in Walking Dead, sometimes two an issue where it's like, guys, we got to figure this out. It's like watching a town hall for hundreds of years.
Parks and Rec, great show, dude.
It's like Parks and Rec with a zombie apocalypse. And
that's not a bad idea.
Much less humor. Yeah, they don't joke. They don't screw around.
It's weird. That's actually how Robert Kirkman originally pitched it.
Yeah.
Even though it came out 5 years before Parks and Rec.
Yeah, it is crazy how much they say you got to treat yourself in this comic book. Yeah. And not a lot of people talk about that.
Rick's I got to get waffles.
Yeah.
I also barely know anything about Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I agree. I only pulled that out of a
great
dark
show.
Part of my
great
brain.
Show, guys.
Great show. Great show. It's really good.
Great show.
Great show. Great comic. Great stack, you guys.
Yeah.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
I love at the all end right, of the guys. Stack when we review our stack. It's the best.
What was your favorite part of the stack?
Oh, man.
No, you know what I'll tell you? My favorite part of the stack is when I get to come out and talk to you guys, the audience, for my favorite section, Audience Questions.
Yay!
So, you can ask absolutely anything. Questions for our amazing guest here. Question for the panel about life and love and comics and things geeky.
Yeah.
And you're going to get some free comics and also free pins, prints from Mod Hero, from modhero.com, art by Rogan Josh.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very
so
cool.
You get a bunch of stuff.
Also a great order at an Indian restaurant.
Rogan Josh. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. There you go.
You're up to Seth
great.
Rogan
you learn
Josh.
Something new every day. So raise good. Your hand. I'm going to come over, and you can ask a question. All right. First hand up. What's your name, sir?
David.
All right, David. What's your question?
Being as I personally haven't read a lot of autobiographical comics, is there any that you recommend besides Beef and Tomato?
Yes, All-Star Superman was a great autobiographical comic. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Grant Morrison thinks that was autobiographical.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
What's a great... Well, I mean, a lot of Harvey Pekar's comics, American Splendor, The Quitter, which I did with him as well. Alison Bechdel's Fun Home is amazing.
And if you live in New York, see that musical.
There's
right
a musical
now.
That did it win a Tony? Is that
it? Did best musical,
best musical?
And it's currently. I saw it before. Now it's in the round, I believe. So it's a little bit more of an intense experience.
Sure,
but I saw it before that when it was much more theatrical.
I enjoy Gabrielle Bell's work. And Jennifer Hayden just came out with, or is coming out with a book called The Story of My Tits, which is about cancer. Schmuck, which is coming out, my good buddy Seth Kushner, who passed away from cancer, wrote this story about his schmucky years that's drawn by 22 different artists. Who else do I need? Well, I also did a graphic novel called The Alcoholic. Sorry to keep naming myself. But I'm pretty proud of these graphic novels. And I also did that was with Jonathan Ames. And I also did a book called Cuba, My Revolution with Invernal Lopez, which is about her time in Cuba and being part of Castro's militia and her escape from Cuba, which is pretty intense. But, I mean, there's a lot of good autobio, and I think it's more of an indie tradition versus in a mainstream tradition, even though in the mainstream bookstores, autobio seems to be what people like to read, but not as much in mainstream comics. But I do think that the lines are starting to blur. So there's enough out there. And you know what? Ask your local comic book shop.
I would like to just say, I don't know how autobiographical it is. I think it's kind of...
Are you going to say Punisher War Journal?
No.
No, it's his journal. It's reprinted word for word.
I was going to say Alex Robinson's Too Cool to Be Forgotten.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a very good book.
And I was actually going to say Alex Robinson's Box Office Poison, which that's I think was the first autobiographical comic that I read, and it totally blew me away.
Which also has a good history lesson of comic book industry.
Yeah.
Inside that story. So.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, there you go. Let's get another question. Literally anybody. Anybody have a question about anything? About dating? About romance?
Yeah, dating. Number one thing to ask us about.
All right, what's your name?
Pablo. The Invincible.
Hi, Pablo.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. What is your favorite biography? Autobiographical comic? And why?
Well, my favorite biography is the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, dude.
And the major reason is because you're reading this story about this guy during a time, and you totally get it. You can totally get his anger, and you can picture, you know, that picture of him with the machine gun or the automatic gun by the window.
Yeah.
And you understand why. What's amazing about that book is toward the very end when he goes to Mecca.
Yeah, dude.
And he comes back. And he's like, wait a second, I'm kind of been wrong about a lot of my ideas about humanity.
And he's big enough to change.
It's not black and white. And he wants to change. And his own people kill him.
Yeah.
That is an amazing story. But in terms of favorite autobio, I mean, God, you know, for a little while I liked Jeffrey Brown. Is that his name?
Yeah.
But then I realized, I liked a lot of his earlier stories because I felt like he started to repeat himself a little bit. What's amazing about American Splendor with Harvey Pekar is the mundanity of it all.
Right.
I have to admit, as much as I'm pissed off at reading a Joe Matt comic, it is somewhat entertaining. He did a comic called Peep Show where he jerks off a lot. I don't know. I feel like... You know what? Pick up Beef with Tomato. I think you'll dig that stuff. I know, again, I'm like shilling my own wares, but I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is, you know? And I think you'll dig that. And that comes out next week. And let me know what you think.
Yeah. Very good.
Cool.
It gives you that slice of life.
You got anything?
Nope.
Favorite biography? Or
yeah,
comic?
Favorite biographical comic? Maybe Punisher War Zone?
Oh, that's
probably
great.
That's probably
just
that
yeah. It's a great.
All right, we'll
really
get another question.
The zone.
Another question from anybody in the audience. Absolutely anybody about anything. You're gonna get some free comics at a print. Absolutely anybody.
Nice.
You right over there going to come over to our resident French expert and see what your question. What's your name again?
Jen.
All right, Jen. What's your question?
I'm wondering if you've ever. I've seen some comics that don't have any words. Like there's no story to it. They're more art comics. Have you ever reviewed any of those?
You talking about mute comics where there's no words, just pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be mute comics. Which before you answer, if I may, one of the books next week coming out from Hang Dye Editions is Gregory Benton's Smoke, which is a mute comic. It's picture only,
nice.
Which basically asks the reader to help fill in the narrative. It's more of a work comic in that way. Although the story is all there, it asks you to interpret it more so than with words.
Awesome.
Very cool.
I will say the first half of Walking Dead that we reviewed today was silent, so I think that counts.
That book, Reptiles, was...
Age of Reptiles?
Yeah, that's very good.
Gone, that reminds me of Gone, which was completely silent, and it was a little baby dinosaur that had adventures, which was a lot of fun. I mean, there's a tradition of mute comics, and I feel like that becomes an international kind of comic because it just basically requires the reader to kind of become a co-author. And I feel like when you read a novel, you become a co-author, because as much as they can describe a couch or a bar or a room or a street, you still fill it in with your ideas of what a street is. Somebody once said to me that when you say the word mother, I have my version of that word, and you have your version because of how what we've grown up with.
Yeah,
you
know? It's true. Well, I always think of your mom, but that's just
I was waiting
me.
For that. I set myself up.
Yeah, you really did.
You did. All right.
There we go. I think we can get one more question from the audience all the way over there. Hold on.
Yeah, make you earn it.
Out.
Yeah,
here,
make you earn
it. Over to me. The microphone doesn't quite stretch. Oh, so close.
Thank you for coming down.
What's your name?
Price is Right.
Jayshree.
All right, what's your question?
This has nothing to do with comics, but I'm wondering if anyone's ever told Justin he looks like Ben Feldman.
You know?
That's a great question.
I have heard that before.
Yeah?
What does he do?
Oh, yeah.
He's an actor, but what show is he's gonna?
He plays the lawyer in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that a lot. And there's my writing partner's a guy named John Gabris, and he looks like Stan from Mad Men. And when they were both on the show, there's a great shot of the two of them together, and that's like our framed working photo.
I looked at that picture that she had on her phone. That guy he's good looking. You know what I mean? I don't see why. Yeah. Anybody would.
So I see. Is that you're paying me a compliment?
No.
By
no,
saying, man. Like, you, that guy's good looking and I look like him.
No. That guy.
Everybody, raise your hands if you think Justin's good looking.
Again, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah!
Holy
no,
shit!
Holy shit!
Raise your hand!
Let him think about it.
Yeah, think about
second.
It for a second.
You shouldn't need to
look at this guy. He's good looking. Come on.
Nope.
Honestly,
Hold on,
Justin.
We had half a hand.
Justin, maybe their hands are broken. All right, let's just double check. Raise your hand if you think Pete is an asshole who loves the Punisher.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
There's a couple.
That's at least a couple.
Well, if I had a shirt that was my face that said "good looking," then that would be easy to follow that up.
All right.
He wears the Punisher face.
All right, there we go. All right, thank you guys for your questions.
Yeah. For those of you at home, everybody
unbelievable. All right, guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We got time?
We got time for some quick stuff?
We're
going to bang through some stuff. In the Week in Geek, we like to talk about some geek culture topics, mostly TV and movie news, so we'll do this real quick. Here's a fun one. This came out very vague.
Wait.
But for The Flash, season 2. Yes.
How many Star Wars toys did you get?
Oh,
how many Star Wars? What do you mean?
Well, there are all these Star Wars toys released. I saw videos of you online.
Wait. Are you talking about Force Friday?
Force Friday,
yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Seriously? Do you know Bleeding Cool?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. The editor-in-chief of Bleeding Cool is here tonight. And I have a feeling from what I read that she did some Force Friday shopping. Are you in the audience over there, Hannah Mean Shannon? Come over here for a second.
Oh, you're getting...
Oh, man.
I'm calling you out. You really
work the crowd when you do
I'm working
show.
The crowd.
You...
I'm going to hand the mic to you. Tell us about your experience on Friday.
Rarely does our guest have a guest. Yeah. It's really great.
Well, I kind of like sidled up to it. I pretended I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do Force Friday because I had too much work to do. Like 5 o'clock, I went out to see what was left.
You pretended to yourself, you mean?
Yeah.
You were like, I'm not going to, I don't need this.
Well, it's a matter of public record now. I went to I went to 8 different places, and
wow.
I just saw what was left and took pictures and put it all up, 50 pictures of everything. I got a lot of clothes, being a girl, and quite a few things. I didn't find what I wanted, which was BB-8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
BB-8.
However, there's a happy ending to that story, because on Sunday, I went to a major mall that was far away from my house, and that took the tally up to 13 shops I'd been to at that point.
Wow.
And the last one was a Brookstone that had the Android.
Nice. So
no
you
one,
have it.
No one thinks to go to Brookstone.
I know. No one goes to Brookstone.
They have a terrible toy section.
And they were like, we don't understand why no one knows this is here. We have a huge sign on our window, but they just had a huge stack of them sitting there.
Oh,
it was crazy.
Man.
The only reason anybody goes into a Brookstone is to get a free massage in the chair. That's it.
Right, exactly.
That's the only reason.
So you have it. Is it as cool as it looks?
It's very cool. I'm afraid I'm going to break it all the time, but it's actually stronger than it looks in the videos you watch.
Wow.
Interesting. I have to believe the character in the movie is stronger than he looks as well.
The force is
the
stronger.
Question is, does BB-8 vibrate?
All right,
so.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
13 amazing. Stores.
Incredible.
Sorry, that was a little segue I was trying to make.
No. Exactly. We actually
thank you, Hannah.
One of the BB-8s at work, and so we were playing with it a bunch on Friday. It's ridiculous. It is so much fun. It, like you were saying, like it's really strong, sticks together, works exactly the way it should. There's another version from another toy company. Doesn't quite work quite as well.
Interesting.
But it's super fun. So how many toys did I get total?
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many toys I got or how many toys I paid for?
How many
that's
you got?
First off, that's annoying to just
say. That's a...
that's annoying
no,
to say.
This was like I robbed a toy store.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to some
No. Episodes. How many did you get? Forget
I
who
don't
paid.
Know. Like 13 or 14.
13
or
14.
Nice.
A bunch of stuff. But I played
what's your favorite?
Well, the BB-8 is the best. I don't actually own that. Somebody else owns it. I play with theirs. But we got Star Wars Monopoly yesterday. Mm. I played it with my daughter. Super fun. Like a quicker version of Monopoly, but really enjoyable.
Quicker? Oh, good.
It didn't take 3 days.
Now, the amount of pictures you've posted on your Instagram forcing your kids to do Star Wars stuff is a lot.
Eventually,
they're going to be like, Dad.
That was not me forcing them at all. They were like, sure. Hey, Dad, take a picture of me.
All right, I want to believe you.
How
so you're also wearing a Star Wars shirt in 90% of the shots.
We were at a Star Wars day of play.
Cool.
I'm just worried that BB-8 is going to be completely disappointing in a Jar Jar Binks kind of way.
I think so, too.
In the movie, you mean?
Is anybody else mad on behalf of R2-D2?
No, that's good. That's good. You know what I don't get is the Miss Piggy Kermit the Frog breakup.
Oh, don't even get into that shit.
What kind of turn did we just take?
I'm sorry. Pop culture, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a breakup happening and then some...
Yeah.
No, have you seen the picture of Kermit talking to the new pig?
Oh, yeah, that's
first
not
off,
right.
First off, it's
that's
fucked up. Right. He's like, I only date pigs.
Yes, well...
Why doesn't he...
Kermit's always been a racist, but whatever.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Piggy is only dating Josh Groban, so what does that say about her?
He's well, that's what I'm saying. She's went into exploring
frogs.
Other possibilities. Frogs, humans.
Frogs,
he's
men
like,
who are frogs.
I want a pig, and what? It doesn't matter what pig I get.
What is Kermit's new hoe's name?
Denise.
Wow.
Denise.
Yeah.
Denise. They pick. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy.
You don't know if she's old.
What's Miss Piggy's
about
real
her?
Name?
Yeah. That's what. It's weird that Denise doesn't have a pig
it's
sort
like,
of name.
Exactly.
She should have a pig like Miss Bacon.
I think
or something.
I think Miss Piggy's real name is Fiona Piggy. I don't
what
know why.
What do you mean? You think that? You
I'm just
you
I'm
invented.
Just I invented. You know, just like comic books. You know,
Fiona
like.
Piggy. Miss Fiona Piggy.
Miss Fiona Piggy. Think about that.
We should get back to Week in Geek.
I agree.
Sorry,
I think this all falls under the
BB-8. But the movies, the time's moving forward. The droids are going to get better. So, like, are you mad for R2-D2 because this guy can go faster?
No. I'm mad for R2-D2 because R2-D2 is the cute droid who can do a lot of stuff, and they basically replaced him
right.
with like a smaller.
He's going to be
droid.
There.
Can I raise my hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the three movies after the first three, which is the first three,
those
prequels.
Don't exist.
Right.
Those don't
R2
exist.
R2 can like. Kick fucking ass, right?
Yeah.
But then he doesn't in the three afterwards, which is our first three.
There are a lot of problems with
that's
the way
all.
That Chewbacca.
There's only three
the Chewbacca
Star Wars
knows
movies.
Yoda in the prequels, and then later he's like, "What's a Jedi? I don't care."
Oh, well, how did you know? You could speak that. You could speak.
No, Chewbacca saves Yoda, and Yoda's like, "Thank you, you two Wookiees. See you later."
Oh, is he racist?
Huh?
Do you think Yoda?
I think
is racist?
Everyone's
no,
a racist.
He just didn't get their
everyone's
names.
A racist.
Oh, he doesn't bother.
Well, he was. It's a rush situation. They save him, and then it's the end of.
I don't bother to learn the server's names. Is that what he says?
No, he doesn't.
It's like a Downton Abbey
why,
type
you're,
situation.
You're being. It's a Downton Abbey situation. Well, I mean, Wookiee. It's confusing. How do you learn the Wookiee language? I don't know.
That's
a
great question.
Do you think they had email?
Pete can't speak French.
Do you think they had email during Star Wars?
Did they have email?
Because
it takes place a long, long time ago. So.
A long time ago, so before email.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind then.
It is weird that all of the spaceships communicate with radio?
Yeah.
Like some sort of dispatch yeah. when, you know, maybe they would have a little bit
CB
more
CB radio.
And guys, that's it for the week again.
Did we have anything, though?
I think we covered all the topics.
I think we covered everything. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete and the Page.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising the hand. Yes, you. First hand up guy. Come on up.
Great job. Come on down.
All right, yeah. Come on down here. You want to stand over here? Take that guy's microphone. What is your name, sir?
John.
John. Audience. Audience. John. All right, John. How's this going to work? I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers, and you will get $25. In the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because you've had $25.
I always lose when I listen to the podcast.
So. Okay, all right. Here we go. So today's trivia is on Hulk news.
Hulk news?
Who is returning to write the new Hulk story in December? Is it A, Greg Pak, B, Mark Waid, or is it C, Lou Ferrigno?
A.
A is correct. Greg Pak, nice. Congratulations, sir. Yes. This totally awesome Hulk has a new Hulk. Who is it? Is it A, Bruce Banner, B, Amadeus Cho, or C, Ronda Rousey?
Well, C would be awesome, yeah, but I'm going to go with B.
B, Amadeus Cho is going to be the new Hulk. Correct. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Greg Pak has not steered me wrong. I doubt he's going to do it now. Last question. Mark Ruffalo said the Hulk was cut from Civil War, the movie, because... Is it A, because Hulk hates Civil War? Or is it B, because it's too big for the film? Or is it C, because Marvel hates us? So it's either B or I'll accept C.
I'm going to go with B.
B is correct. $25 free. Congratulations, nice. John.
Congratulations.
Nice job.
Unbelievable. Pete, I just want to check, because you specified it was Civil War the movie, so Hulk was not cut from Civil War the historical event?
That is correct.
All right, just making sure that
he's
still
bopping
there.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
Pete, what comic books are you looking forward to?
I'm going
to
go with Bitch Planet number 5.
Wow, nice, Pete.
Yeah.
What's been going on in that book?
Well, I don't know. It's been a while since it's come out, but it's a very cool, creative book, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Nice.
Great. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
Takes place in the future, a bunch of women on a prison planet. It plays with exploitation tropes, but in a really awesome,
smart
different way,
way
very
yeah.
smart way. And we start delving into the history of how we ended up here, which is really cool. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Injection number 5.
Oh, yeah.
Good
from
one. Good
Image
one.
Comics, yeah, Warren Ellis's book. Yeah. It's a cool sort of group of government secret agents, I guess you could say, dealing with some paranormal things that happen, and it's a slow, we sort of, the story unravels over the course of the first 4 issues, and it's really sort of solidified now. Very cool book.
And yeah. let's not forget the co-author, the artist, which is Declan Shalvey.
Yeah,
Shalvey?
Yeah.
Shalvey?
Yeah.
Shalvey. Shalvey.
It's gorgeous. And I think, does Jordi de Belair do the colors, I'm going to assume?
I think so.
I believe so.
Yeah, the colors are great.
It's the Moon Knight team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's about the stories behind stories, why they happen. It's really neat and very alarming at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Star of Number 4 is coming out tomorrow. This is Brian Wood's new book about a reality cooking competition way in the future.
Oh, yeah, dude. This was a great
and
book. Yeah.
It's really good. Each issue is kind of standalone, which is interesting and surprising. But it's about this guy who started a cooking competition, taken away from it a while, coming back, and everybody is pretty much trying to destroy him. It's excellent. I don't know. I like cooking shows. I like comics, so I'm pretty happy with this book. Dean, what are you looking forward to?
I have two. I have heard lots of good things about Descender.
Yeah. Very
I
good
I think
book.
That there is a collection of the first arc that's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the other one is I've been enjoying Bleeding Cool magazine and with our Bleeding Cool editor-in-chief here. And I'm a featured interview in issue number 18, which comes out tomorrow. And it's one of my favorite interviews, which is why I'm also picking it.
Awesome.
So, nice.
Thank you.
Very cool. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Okay, so I recently did The Fox for Archie Dark Circle. And I think a collection comes out around Christmas, Fox Hunt. Recently drawn a Batman 66 story, actually a couple, issues number, I believe, 28 and 29 coming out with Killer Croc and Ma Parker, written by Jeff Parker. And Beef with Tomato comes out next week. So please check it out.
Definitely
it's good autobio.
Yep. All right, very cool. Before we go, a couple of things. Next week on the show, Charles Soule, who writes literally every comic book in the world.
Yeah, he does. He's writing everything.
That's very exciting. Yeah. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people you want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns who are not children but actual interns.
All right.
I'm pretty sure they're kids.
Okay.
Let me add some people to the list. I have some.
Iman Bell, Orphan John, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and
Riley Trahan.
Nice. We want to thank Dean for being on the show.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys.
We want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,
good
everybody.
Good night, guys. Baguette. Don't go.